So the purpose of this project was to look at alternative ways to fund fleet, because the general fund cannot sustain funding fleet in its current capacity. So Tanya and I, Tanya Taylor from Fleet, and I looked at different options for ways of funding fleet. We met with department heads, and we did this during the last budget cycle to explore a variety of options. So you can see a list of things that we looked at. I had initially thought that there would be significant savings if we bought used, but it turned out that because of the discount that the city gets from buying on the state website, there really is not much savings from buying used, and we can't buy used on the state website. So that was kind of a non-starter. There's really no interest in cutting fleet at the department level. When we spoke to the different departments, they really need the vehicles that they have as well as the equipment they have. And so we did identify, we came up with an alternative way that we can continue to fund fleet at its current level. And so the recommendation that we're going to bring forward is fleet leasing. Also, no cuts to the department's size of the fleet, as well as we're going to talk about an accounting change, moving from accounting for fleet at the department level into non-departmental. So in a traditional lease, there's no ownership. We make lease payments, and then at the end of the lease, we walk away from the vehicle. But in an equity lease, the city retains all rights of ownership. And at the end of the lease, the city sells the vehicles, we get that money, and we put it back into our general fund and apply it towards future lease payments. So currently, the total fleet is made up of about 350 vehicles and pieces of equipment. What we're talking about tonight, here today, what we'd like to do is really we're talking about what I'm going to call the standard fleet. It makes up about 33% of the total fleet. And so what we include in that is non-PD patrol vehicles, parks and rec, public works, pooled vehicles, mayor's office. That's what I'm considering standard fleet. Things that are not included at this time would be the PD patrol vehicles and then the equipment, as well as some large vehicles. So the reason why we landed on the fleet leasing is that it really improves our cash flow. Right now, our fleet fund balance has traditionally been around $4 million. We'd be able to cut that just about in half. We would also experience savings on things like maintenance costs because we would just be paying for oil changes and warranty work. Additionally, we would be better positioned for future fleet needs. So the reason this model works for Tukwila is because of our buying power, we'd be able to buy the vehicles low, at a low price. We put low miles on them, and then we would be able to sell them at the optimal time. So enterprise fleet leasing does the sales of the vehicles for us. So I have a purchase example, and this is high level just for illustrative purposes only on how this would look. So for example, we would purchase a Ford F-150 that's MSRP at $40,000. Because of our purchasing power, we would pay about $29,000 for that, $30,000. We would make payments for 2 years, $500 a month for 2 years. The residual amount would be $17,000. Well, enterprise leasing would come to us and say, now is the optimal time to sell this vehicle. It's 2 years old. Let's move this F-150. And we would sell it for about $31,000. We would have the payoff amount of $17,000. Enterprise leasing, they take a $500 fee for every vehicle they sell. And minus the lease payments we made, we come out $1,500 ahead. Now, this is an example only, and it does not include outfitting of the vehicles. So if we had a public works vehicle and we have to do some outfitting, lights, toolboxes, whatever that is, that would be the same whether we lease the vehicle or purchase it. So I don't include that in the model. I just kind of want to give you an idea of how this works. And so I spoke to a few different agencies that have this, that are currently using fleet leasing. I wanted to talk to them about the service. Does it really give some relief with your cash flow? And how is the resale of these? And so the three people we talked to, it was all positive. They were saying that, you know, right now the secondary car market is pretty hot. So they're getting money back for these vehicles. They were pleased with the service that they get from Enterprise. We can expand the level of service. You know, they can do the maintenance on the vehicles. At this time, we're choosing to do that in-house. But it's been good references, and you can see several other local governmental type entities are going ahead and using this. And so as Tanya and I were going through this and talking about this and talking with different people as well as Enterprise, you know, I was thinking, what is the risk if we do this? And it turns out that it really is low risk. If we got out of this, we would essentially just have the same vehicles that we would have had anyway. And we would get out of it the same way we get into it. So with our budget, when a vehicle comes up to be, when the lease is up, we would just give it back and we just would not lease it again. I think I kind of missed this on an earlier slide, just moving fast, but how we get into this, we would do it as our budget dictates. So in 2021, I think we're slated for, you know, like 9 vehicles. Instead of buying those vehicles, we would lease those. In 2022, we're slated for 2 vehicles. We would lease those instead of buying those. So we enter into it each budget cycle. We wouldn't just go all in on it. The second piece of this is a change in accounting. So it's worth mentioning off the top that the fleet fund owns all fleet vehicles and the equipment. But for the general fund, we're making a recommendation that we account for the fleet in non-departmental, which is Department 20. And so this is going to allow us to eliminate having to account for fleet transactions at the department level. The enterprise funds will continue to have fleet allocated at the fund level, but this would standardize the accounting process with the general fund to follow the same accounting processes as the enterprise funds. And the departments would still work directly with fleet to discuss their ongoing fleet needs. Maintenance would still be handled in-house. Also, this would address a known issue. It's known as fleet creep. So I wanted to take a couple minutes and talk really what that looks like. So right now, when the general fund allocates fleet budget at the department level, the departments assume ownership of those funds. So those funds accumulate and roll over from year to year. So if a department wants to purchase a vehicle and it's slated for 5 years, the general fund makes those budgetary contributions every month for 5 years. That money accumulates, it stays in that department. And when departments go to surplus vehicles, the sale, the profit from that goes back into that department. So essentially this creates a fleet fund balance at the department level. And so what happens is, for example, a department may be budgeted for an F-150 3 years down the road. When it comes time for them to purchase that, they say, well, you know, our needs have changed. We really need an F-250. And the marginal difference between an F-250 and an F-150 might be $15,000. And they say, well, we have enough money in our fund balance to purchase that. So they go ahead and do it. Another thing we may see is a passenger van, maybe a 15-person passenger van that is ready to be replaced, but it still runs. Well, since the department is slated to get a new van, they purchase the new van, but they decide to keep the old van as a spare. The van's already paid off, the vehicle's paid off, so they would just be paying maintenance and operation charges on that, and they can afford it. Additionally, when the department, we keep this money in the fleet fund and it gets interest because it's in the bank, and we had mentioned earlier that that fund balance is about $4 million. So that interest is allocated amongst the different departments that share in that fund. So they take ownership of those funds. And it's really not the department's money. You know, this is money from the general fund given to the departments, but by them taking ownership of it, it essentially holds a lot of money hostage, just sitting idle in the general fund. So when we compare the leasing to how we've been how we've been operating the fleet, meaning we buy the vehicles, we hold on to them for a long period of time, there's really not a big dollar savings. But the main benefit is to cash flow. It opens up the cash flow. And there are other significant benefits that are provided with no additional cost. So I feel like this...
Can we have a mute, please, that, except for the speaker? Thank you.
So to conclude this, we make the recommendation for the directors. We feel like that this recommendation of fleet will provide relief to the general fund. It also consistently provides a way to get new vehicles. It eliminates spikes in the fund balance. It does not reduce the size of fleet. And if this works out, then I would like to maybe consider this as a model for PD patrol vehicles. So that is the end of the presentation. Let me stop sharing and I'll take some questions about this.
Thank you very much. And I apologize to everybody for being late. Traffic. Okay, we'll start with Councilmember Quinn. Do you have any questions?
This is a very detailed presentation. Sounds like you're making a recommendation on how to kind of streamline and be efficient after not just a short-term analysis, but it sounds like a two-year analysis. I'm comfortable with the approach, especially with the examples you provided of other jurisdictions, but more importantly, that you've done the numbers around kind of innovation to really kind of preserve or maximize the investments that we make. So I don't really have any other questions because this presentation was pretty detailed. And the alternative is go with the same way we've done things. So
thank you.
Thank you, Deshaun. Councilmember McLeod.
I do have a couple questions. I'll go all the way back to the back of the presentation to start. This is on the penultimate slide page where you say, overall, there is not a big savings. And then at the bottom of that, you say primarily this frees up cash flow. Do those statements contradict each other?
Let me attempt to address that. I do understand the question. So when I say overall, there's not big savings, it's going to essentially cost the same amount of money that we spend now to lease a vehicle, hold it, sell it, outfit it. When we look over the long term, when I say long term, let's look at this by budget cycle. There is nominal savings, and I might bring Tanya in to speak to this, but Tanya, let me give it a shot first. Nominal savings of maybe $46,000, $50,000. So that's not big savings. The reason why there is not big savings is because we're not reducing our level of service. We're not cutting any vehicles. We're not doing anything less than we're doing now. So that's why we don't get big bottom line savings. But we do get cash flow. So I'm going to give me a chance to get through this one. So how I say we get cash flow is right now, the process is we have a budget, and every month the general fund will allocate money to the different departments within the general fund to purchase vehicles 3 to 5 years down the road. So that money is now going into a fund balance sitting idle, not doing anything with it. It's accumulating over time. And then at the time to buy, we take all that money out, purchase the vehicle, and then we start that process all over again. Why this frees up cash flow is because when we are making those monthly payments, we're actually using the vehicles at that time. And so those are going to lease payments. So there is no accumulation of cash and then the sucking out of cash. We use that cash flow, we lease those vehicles, and then when it's time to sell, whatever that optimal time is, enterprise tells us that, we then sell those vehicles, we take that money, put it back into that Department 20 for future lease payments. So we are essentially recycling these dollars over and over. Now, if that's not clear, I'm going to bring in the big guns, and Tanya's going to talk to you about what kind of savings there are. But let me ask, does that somewhat answer the question?
Yes, because I think it gives you more control of your cash more often.
Yes. I agree with you. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, I just reinterpreted what you said. Okay, I have a couple more questions. More of clarity for me. And then, what is the white fleet?
I apologize for that. I was not, that is standard fleet. And so I scrubbed that from my presentation. And so to give a better answer, that's public works, parks and rec, non-PD vehicles. And I had intended to scrub that word out of there.
Okay, I'll pretend I didn't see it.
Phew.
And I think that might be it for me. I understand what you're trying to do, and it does make sense. I think it, and I mean, normally, conceptually, you know, usually in the accounting world, owning is better than renting. This is renting. But at the same time, this kind of gives us maybe a little bit more control, and over a measured window of time, we probably spent the same amount of money, but we've had control over it the whole time, and we're able to kind of monitor it better and maybe not run as high a risk with repairs and maintenance and depreciating and declining vehicles.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm good.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I don't have any questions. I know this is for information only. The whole fleet leasing thing has been something for the last however long I've been hanging around here, always was curious to me, but I totally understand I like what you're proposing. So I don't think if there's any other questions, then what we'll do is, this was just information only, and I think everybody will see this probably in the next budget cycle, right?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tony.
All right. So that moves us on to our next item on the agenda, which is trash pickup and graffiti cleaning. And is Stephanie here? There's Stephanie. Hi, Stephanie. Okay, so
Hello.
This one's yours. Take it away.
I don't know if Hari wants to introduce this or if he wants me just to jump right in.
How comfortable you feel with it, Stephanie, is your memo.
I can
just kind of set the stage for you, committee members. This is something that came in for discussion during your budget discussions, during some of your council meetings, that what do we do to make our city more cleaner and set a better way of getting some of the complaints or some of the information to the right departments, and what can we do actively promoting keeping our city clean. So Stephanie, go ahead, please.
Perfect. Well, thank you. It's nice to see everybody. And this is my first time at this committee. So I was asked to be a part of this because of the work that I've been doing in parks and recreation with communication and outreach. And we've had a couple meetings, cross-department meetings with Public Works, Police, Parks and Recreation, and a few others, where we've just talked about ways to address the abundance of litter and dumping and graffiti that has been happening over the past year and a half. So I jumped in, did a little bit of research, and this is a trend that's happening everywhere. And we have not escaped that trend. And as a group, we had decided that we would just start with some really basic first steps, making sure that we had our information available for residents and visitors and businesses to be able to reach out to the city to say, hey, I see this graffiti here. I see dumping here. There's a lot of litter here. We're just trying to get those first initial resources off the ground. So we're updating a website, and Scott Kirby and I have been working pretty closely on that. And that it's actually a web page, and that web page is going to give information for how people can get involved to help support cleaning up litter in their neighborhood or in their park or streets by their house. Beautification, it will give information on the work that the city is currently doing to beautify the city, like the attachments that I included in the memo through public art. We have several initiatives that are happening right now. Adopt a spot. I know that Verna's involved with that. And then Green Tequila, and many of you have been involved with Green Tequila over the years. So the past year, those programs have just really picked up, which has been great. So just to circle back, we're going to start with that website, which we're hoping to launch here at the end of June. And that will be launched with a full social media campaign to push people to that webpage. And then after that, our group, cross-department group, will be meeting again to determine what our next steps are. So we really wanted to start with using existing resources so we didn't have to also look for extra funding to support this. And just depending upon how it goes, determine if we do need to like request funding to continue it or to grow the program. That's it in a nutshell. May I answer any questions?
Sure. Okay. I'll start with Councilmember McLeod this time. Councilmember McLeod, questions, comments?
Yes. So I had a resident call me today, and he wanted to talk about trash. And he lives over on 53rd Place. There's a over on Slade Way, and there's a big hill with some really beautiful homes up there and great views, and they are tired of people dumping trash on Slade Way. And I know there's some other neighborhoods when you talk to people about this neighborhood that where trash is being dumped. So while I'm sure they would appreciate a painted box or some sort of art, they're just tired of the trash and they just want it picked up. And every time we go out into the community and talk to people, it comes up pretty consistently. And so you mentioned in this info memo that the Parks, Maintenance, and Public Works under the background paragraph, staff empty well over, or you're just saying that you empty that. Is there going to be more places for people to put trash? I'll tell you what this resident wanted. He wanted the people caught and held more accountable. I'm not exactly sure that that falls under your jurisdiction, but I think there's just a higher level of frustration from residents with the amount of trash that's being left, being littered, not being picked up timely. So that's the comment. I'll let you respond to that.
I can understand that a lot of people are very frustrated with the amount of trash. I do hear a lot through our channels in Parks and Recreation just how people are feeling about the condition of some of our parks and how that has gone for them last summer, fall, and winter. And it's my understanding that the same thing is happening with streets. I know that a big part of that for us in Parks and Recreation, and I'm assuming it is with Public Works too, is that we are just now bringing back in our part-time seasonal staff, and I expect that that's going to make a big difference for us in Parks and Recreation. I can let Hari chime in on the Public Works side, but
yeah, yes, Committee, I agree with what Stephanie has mentioned, is that we just now went out to hire seasonals, and so that's going to make a huge impact in how soon we can get to this trash pickup and graffiti. But I think the bigger message here that Stephanie and we're all trying to send is that we would like to encourage residents to form a volunteer and to kind of band together to, because there, as you saw in the memo, there's 25% to 30% increase in overall activity, number of trash bins or trash that we're seeing. And so it's just, we all need to pitch in is what we're trying to say here. But definitely, adding the seasonals and getting the website up and running, getting the feedback from the community is very important, because that's one thing that, as you know, between the last budget cycle and now, we used to have Tukwila Works, and since that was taken out, so it's all coming together is what we're trying to tell you. Thank you.
Real quick, Hari, do you see this as a seasonal problem? It sounds like you say that we'll have a little bit of a solution with seasonal staff, but I mean, this goes around all year long, right?
Yeah, and also, I'll just be honest, the seasonals, we're having a little tough time hiring them. The hiring market is kind of difficult right now. So, but the seasonals will only last until September. But I think what we want to do is we want to tame it down. And so that's our first step. I think seasonals will come in handy for that.
And I think just one other thing that happened too, that we've seen over the past years, that through last summer, parks were very, very busy. And without those seasonal staff, a lot of the trash that like accumulated, so it built up and built up and built up. Our full-time staff just couldn't get around quick enough. And I think that, and I'm assuming a little bit that that's probably what has happened with streets and some of these dumping areas too, without having those seasonal staff, that just continues to like accumulate over the course of the year. So having the seasonal staff come back in to help clean up some of this accumulation is going to be huge, I know, from our perspective in parks. So.
Okay, thank you.
Councilmember Quinn.
So I want to thank you for the presentation. I know my colleague mentioned resident expressing some concern, and also including is more of an interest to remind people that it's illegal to do it. And I think the approach was like not necessarily criminalizing it, but just making people accountable for that responsibility. So one, I really like what you have here. And I think maybe what you're hearing is, you know, it might mean because of this unique time, one, we're seeing a 30% increase, and we're not the only location that is seeing it. I think it's getting back to basics and having a responsibility not only for your city as residents, but actually kind of our social contract or really doing stuff for the common good, right? People are out of practice. Like, this is not allowed. You know, there's a piece where some people are on the streets, but not everybody's on the streets. Kudos to Tukwila. We're at 67% vaccination. More people will be out there. What I would suggest, in addition to the, because I think it will be helpful to have a location for people to go. I think we've all seen some social media where literally they're taking on this responsibility and saying, hey, somebody's doing a bad job. Everybody know, hey, you know, this area is not cleaned up. It needs to be cleaned up. And I've actually seen it be effective last week. But what I would say is, along with that thing, so one, I want to speak to the assessment around resources. So I appreciate that. And the expectation is we'll hear more of a need. That's the hope. So it sounds like you're going to have documentable evidence and have a greater sense of the capacity and the issue. But what I would also say is, as we kind of encourage our residents and each other, that we take account, and then that we have something to consider to fund as a council. That's one. Second thing is, come on and join the team. We need seasonal staff. If you need a job focused on making sure your community is clean, come on and work for us. So it's not only the residents, can you help us use your volunteer time to help clean up, but hey, the city has jobs, and we actually are having a challenge filling the vacancy. So make it kind of a campaign, you know, join with us. I actually look forward to the outcome, but I will also say, you know, there's a concern, right? And anything, when you see a market change, you know, I think anyone's going to feel concerned. And I think we have a role of making sure we address it and address it immediately. So I look forward to the outcomes of the discussion. I look forward to Hari, you coming back to us and saying, hey, it looks like the numbers are putting us in a place where we need to make a bigger investment. That's where policymakers have the opportunity to act.
Yeah, certainly, Councilman. We'll bring it back to you once we have more information.
Great, thank you. The only thing I have to add is I'm glad that we're getting, you know, the webpage being created, and I'm sure you're already probably talking to the Parks Commission about this, but I think this would be, especially the graffiti piece, would be really good to roll through COPCAB, because I do know that members of COPCAB that I talk to have concerns about the graffiti. And I think this would be great to present to COPCAB, right? Because community policing, that's, you know, because they talk about, I've heard through their members, that they talk about the graffiti. So I think that would be a really good partner for this. But I really like this. The adopt a spot is a lot of fun. I know how to pick up trash now without touching the trash. But anyway, so I think this was really good. I will report out tonight under reports about the fact that we're getting the web page up, because I think people want to know about that. But I think this is great. So thank you for your presentation. And it's good to see you, Stephanie.
You too.
All right. I think that's it for this one. Thanks, guys. Thank you. So that moves us on to Public Workshops Minkler Restroom Remodel. Who's going to take this one? Mr. Rhonda or Hari?
Yes, ma'am.
Before Mr. Rhonda takes on, I want to remind the committee and the council that staff were very thankful to the projects that you allowed us to do. So we have a series of three of them that we're going to go through. Mike Rhonda has two of them, but I just want to convey the feeling, general feeling, the staff are very appreciative of the opportunities you've given us. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. So these first two are kind of related, but I'll just kind of go through them one at a time and see if anybody has any questions before I move to the next one. So the first one is the Public Works Shops Minkler Restroom Remodel Project. It was authorized like a year and a half ago, I think. And the history is that it kind of started out as a remodel Minkler, and we quickly found that to bring that up to current codes and standards with the existing building wasn't going to work. So it became a modular unit that we put outside, and then worked through the whole process. The only thing that's unique about this one, the project was successful. And as Hari says, you know, I think everybody is very happy that they have the new facility to use. And very thankful that you've helped support that need. The only thing that was a little special about this one, and makes it fairly complicated to kind of close out, is it was one of our JOC contracts, which is the job order contracting process. So the numbers get really convoluted as to how those come together. And essentially all we're doing with this is just combining the whole closeout for both components of the JOC. It's both Sabre contractors and Gordian Group are the two that are involved in that JOC process. So, you know, through the process, it was scoped. We, you know, started fabrication with the modular. We found a couple of things that we needed to change. So those came through in the change orders that I think you have information on. And it was relatively simple to close. Only a couple of change orders, fairly minor amount, and came in well within the $308,000 budget that you gave us to build it. And I think you'll see on the memo there, there's some pictures of the inside facility and the pictures of the crew standing there on their new ramp and, you know, happy to have that facility. I think the other attachments are basically just the background, the final pay estimate that shows you where the numbers came from, and the notice of completion that we've sent through for final payment authorization. So any questions on this one?
Councilmember Quinn.
I don't have many questions.
Great, thank you. Councilmember McLeod.
I have a couple. This modular unit, so we went with that versus remodeling the current building structure. And can this modular unit be transported to the Heiser site?
It can. That's actually one of the reasons why we did that. Yeah. I mean, that's, the basic facilities, the sewer, the water, those types of things, we had to install those. But all we have to do is disconnect. It's, you know, the wheels and everything are still under it. It's just skirted. So it would take a little bit, but not much. You disconnect it and reconnect all the axles and things, put the wheels back on it, and haul it off.
Yeah, the good news is, as you guys can look at the pictures, even though it's a mobile unit that can be hauled up anytime, it looks as good as any of the permanent structure that's right next to it. With the awning and stuff, it blends in. It looks like a good, nice, decent, permanent structure.
Okay, well, I say thank you and good work. I yield back.
Okay, great. Well, I don't have any questions. So the request on this is to forward to the June 21st regular consent agenda. Are you two both okay with that? All right. Thank you. So then that moves us on to the next one, the Fence and Gates project.
Okay. So this is similar. It was related to that same authorization. It was for the Fleet and Facilities building. Before we moved ahead with the tenant improvement, we had some concerns about ongoing vandalism and theft on the site because it wasn't very well secured. There were some existing fences out there, but they were substandard and they weren't complete. So we also put a budget together with council approval to try and upgrade the security on the properties. There's actually, I think, three properties that are kind of combined there, plus one that's leased off the edge. So we took down some of the old fence that was substandard. We replaced it with more comprehensive fencing. We included some future fencing around the employee yard so that that can actually be a secure site as well. And then we added some gates to the system that eventually will be automated and fully tied in with our card access system so that when we go into operation at that facility, when we have off-hours operations, we can actually get in and out with just the swipe of a card and have the site secured even when there's nobody physically there and we're all out, you know, working on a snowmageddon or something like that. So again, very few changes on this. There were some additional bollards that we picked up between the design and the original spec that changed the quantities there. That was probably our biggest cost increase. And the rest of the, there's a few components of the construction that we actually rolled into the TI contract, the tenant improvement. And it had to do mostly just with the kind of the phasing and how to get that to work while we had another contractor on site. So some of the residual balance on each of these actually has use in the future. Some of the residual on this will probably pay for the improvements that the tenant improvement contract will pick up. And the backing up to the Minkler contract, there is some additional money there that was left over from that contract that we're going to roll into the other authorization that was also for some increased security at the Minkler shops. We haven't started the scoping yet on that one, but we're getting ready to do that as soon as we close this one out. And the next phase for that will be, again, a gate actuator and automation system that's not currently at Minkler, and some increased to the security lighting. So we got, you know, better coverage on that backyard that right now is a little dark. So any questions on this one?
All right, I'll start with Councilmember McLeod.
I have no questions.
Great. Councilmember Quinn?
I have a Councilmember McLeod question. this is an investment in a system. Let's say we have we've kind of utilized this approach. Could we pick it up and use it somewhere else? At least some components?
You're asking about the security system specifically?
Or the fence.
Yeah, I suppose you could.
Really?
I'm not sure if I want that fence. Yeah.
Again,
actually,
the gate actuators
are pretty nice. You could like pick one of those up.
Gate actuators. I mean, yeah. We have more than one property, but you know, it's halfway rhetorical there. But you know, it's all about maximizing what we have and knowing what the need is out there. And
those are some really nice gates, I'll tell you.
Right. And so when we do have to break them down. Do we break them out and put them up somewhere else?
You could. Amen. You could definitely. Amen. With enough money and time, you can do anything.
And Tom will be in charge of that.
Yes.
Nothing else, Councilmember Quinn? All right. I'm totally fine with this, too. So, again, the request on this is to forward this to the June 21st regular consent agenda. You guys both okay with that? All right. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for putting up with them.
It's all right. Thank you.
You made Hari really laugh. I like that. So, all right. So that moves us on to the next one, which is discussion only public works, complete facilities tenant improvement projects. Hari, is this going to be you?
Yeah, I'll start with it, committee members. And we have our project manager, Cody Lee, who is our operations manager. He's managing this project. But as you remember, in March, we have contracted with Lincoln Construction for the tenant improvement of the fleet and facilities, and the bids came under, and they were good prices, so we proceeded forward. And so this is just a update. The project is running on time, and it is currently on budget. Everything is going well. I just wanted to start with the update. And as the project includes inside tenant improvement and also the foundation upgrades for the seismic. So as some of the pictures show, that we have, the contractor has worked to expose the foundation. So there were, just to make sure that there's nothing out of the ordinary, as you probably have taken the tour of the building. This building was poured and built in three separate phases when Heiser, former Heiser, built it. So we were concerned about the foundation being of different standards and stuff. So as we sit here right now, 3 months into the project, we're fairly comfortable with the way the foundation is. There were some utilities and other stuff that we found that were not shown in the original as-builds and stuff. That's not out of the ordinary, but the project is proceeding forward. And I want to bring in our operations manager, Cody. Cody, do you have any updates to the committee?
Hello, council members. How are you doing tonight? No, I don't have anything additional. Hari, you know, you covered it pretty well. You know, we're 3 months in, and we're on time, we're on schedule.
Nice. All right. I'll start with Councilmember Quinn. Do you have any questions or comments?
No, I do have comments. So just briefly, one, thank you for this presentation. This is the kind of thing that continues to keep us informed around the process. Some time ago, we have theoretical ideas of what the tenant improvements will cost, what are some of the considerations, the makeup, and then if you recall, you know, kind of having access to these buildings without knowing exactly how, you know, what shape they're in. So this continues to educate us on this process, and I just appreciate this item coming before us, and it's really good information. And I also think this is an opportunity where if there is a surprise, if it is painful, we're going to hear about it early.
Yeah, appreciate that. Councilmember McLeod.
No, I don't really have any questions. I guess I see here that the anticipation completion date is December 2021. And did I hear just hear you say you feel you're on schedule with that?
Yes, Council Member, as far as we know, project is on time, on schedule. And if anything changes, we'll keep you posted. But what our goal is to get at least a substantial construction done by December, so that if there are some punch list items or some minor items, we can take care of them early next year. But we really want to utilize this opportunity in winter to move some of our stuff from the existing facilities into the newer, relatively newer facilities.
Okay. Well, thank you. It looks good.
And I don't have any questions. And again, like Councilmember Quinn said, I really appreciate these check-ins. I think this keeps, like you said, this keeps us informed. And this way, too, we find out if there are any surprises along the way. And we can deal with them. So I really appreciate this. And thank you, Cody, for being here.
Yeah, I want to thank you, Cody, for his work on this project.
Yes, thank you. All right. So that moves us on to, I believe, the last item on the agenda, which is the Transportation Demand Management Program Regional Mobility Grant. So, Allison.
Hi. So I'm with the Transportation Demand Management Program, and Chris, my colleague, is here too. So we applied for this regional mobility grant with WashDOT over the last year. I think we came here in August to get permission. And so we heard good news that we've been awarded. This one is a 4-year grant, so it would start July 1st of this year, so pretty soon. And then it is awarded in kind of two chunks because of WashDOT's schedule. So we are getting $336,000 for the first 2-year chunk, and then the same amount for the next 2-year chunk. And I am here to ask for your approval to accept the grant. Do you have any questions?
Thank you. I'll start with Councilmember McLeod. Do you have any questions, Tom?
I'm thinking, do I want to accept the money? Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Councilmember Quinn.
So just to clarify, this is a WashDOT grant. And clearly, if we applied for it, we have a plan for it. And over 4 years, were there anything surprising about getting this grant or the amounts we received?
No. I guess for me, it was a new experience because it's the first time I've applied for it. so that was exciting. And we have a current regional mobility grant that we're wrapping up. And this, I guess for context, this current grant, it's about twice as much, but actually it's more than that because it's over 4 years. But the amount, the $336,000, I can't remember the exact number, but the current grant is about half of that over the 2-year period. So that might be something good to know.
Is that it, Michelle?
Yeah, thank you. Very okay. Exciting and great job.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, I think it's great. And then just so we all know, so there's no impact to the general fund. There is a local match, but that's going to come out of the our TDM allocation, which was the commuter trip reduction, right, that we
yeah.
had. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So the match is going to come from that. And then I have to actually figure out there's about, I think it's like $2,000 or $3,000 that I have to figure out another source for that. But okay. It will be from another grant.
Right. But yeah, I guess my main point was it's not impacting the general fund, which is good. So
right.
It'll be.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, this is great. Congratulations. And hey, money, it's great. So I think my fellow council members are comfortable then forwarding this to the consent agenda on June 21st. Can't believe it's going to be June 21st. Where did June go? So great. Well, and Chris, thank you. Chris, did you want to add anything? So you're sitting there waiting.
I'm sitting here waiting, and I'm quite excited, Allison. Thank you for being on most of the call. I just had to pop on here. But, yeah, we are very excited, and also maybe advancing the PSRC, or sorry, the CMAQ grant. So that might come into play earlier this year as well. So it's a rosier picture, much rosier picture than it could be.
Wonderful. All right. Well, thank you, guys. Thank both of you. All right.
Thank you.
I think that's it. Do we have any miscellaneous?
Verna, I just had a couple things, and I think we need to speak on the trucks in the neighborhood.
Yes, I know. Yep, I was going to bring that up.
Significant problem, and I think some of the decisions that are being made, I don't know what's happening. So one, you have kind of an existing problem, for sure in downtown, but then some trucks are going through, as I mentioned before, in throughout that neighborhood and the Duwamish neighborhood, and has caused some damage. And then now, other parts of the city, you're seeing actually very dangerous situations, very public on social media, and I think we can do kind of an armchair analysis of what's happening, but I don't think the frequency in which we're seeing here's what I've heard is like, oh, maybe their GIS telling them to go this way or that way, but it wasn't as significant as a problem. We have signage that say, you know, this is not a truck route. So I just wanted to put that on the table in Transportation Committee. We are acting on some of these issues in the next meeting, but I think we're all on the same committee that acted before, so we know where we're headed. Now the rest of the council has to be heard, but this particular issue is just continuing to be a challenge. And so I would just say this, that one of the last ones, two in the same week, semi truck almost tipped over into a house. So it would be good to really get an assessment, even your thoughts, but my expectation is that we don't do it right off because we want it to be informed. But that's just me.
Yep. Tom, did you want to add on to that?
Well, I agree. I did see the social media pics of the one truck in the kind of the Foster area, was it my Foster Point? Yeah, that's some serious stuff. And, you know, I can understand a truck driver bypassing signs, but I think we need to make sure that we're doing everything we can to prevent that from happening.
So maybe a suggestion is that this, like Deshaun said, you know, let's get an assessment, what we have in place now. I know we have signage. I know we have different things, but can we maybe get this on the agenda to talk about more in depth, of course, after you've done your assessment. And then I would like to have it as an agenda item, yes, this year, and as quick as we can, honestly, because it is a huge safety issue. And, you know, like Deshaun said, we have some things in place, but we don't know exactly what. And like you said, before we go out and start doing something, we need to know what we have. So can we do that, Hari? Is that fair?
Yes, certainly, committee members. I heard I have clear instructions. I'll go ahead and run with using our own staff, run a report on what signs we have, where are the streets. Well, I was aware of that particular incident that a truck went into a residential street. So we'll come back with a report and I'll put it on the agenda at that time.
Thank you. Good. Is there anything else, Deshaun or Tom? All right. Well, we've got some time until our next meeting. So go eat dinner. That's what I plan on doing. See you guys
Thank
in a little
you.
Bit. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.